All right, let's fire up Talking Travel with Sally Lucas, our travel guide today. Sally, I know you're looking to head across and do something, and certainly a bit of a nature holiday to start with.
Yeah, but most definitely, Mark. We're heading to a wonderful continent of Africa, and in particular to Southern Africa, including a little bit on Botswana and Zimbabwe.
Talking Travel with our travel guide, Sally Lucas here, who is heading across to the bottom of the continent of Africa today, particularly South Africa, Sally, and again, there's kind of a reason why you want to illuminate us with this topic today.
Yeah, I do. And I thought it was quite interesting. We went to lunch with some friends the other day and they've just come back from South Africa. I knew they were going. How did the trip go? Well, the couple, Therese and Greg, I won't give their surnames, of course, but they said, wow, Therese at the end of it said, it was the best trip I've ever done. And they've travelled everywhere around the world, all destinations, America, Europe, etc. And I said, why is that? They said, well, we weren't just looking at museums, buildings, churches and cities. And in the end,
not much of all of those out in the bushes there.
Yeah, all starts to be similar to the other. And they said, this is the first time we've really gone on a safari-style adventure-based holiday where we were just at one with nature all the time. And she said, you know, she was so excited even just talking about it. She said, you know, we saw the Big Five the first day in Kruger National Park. And, you know, we saw all these wonderful herds of elephants that just went forever. And, you know, so she was so still enthused by it all. And they went, I think, about end of August, September time, which is a great time to go, by the way. And you've got to remember, like, South Africa in its climate is very similar to us. If you look at a map, you know, if you run a line across, you're very similar. But it's also like us, a country of diversity and dramatic beauty, tumultuous history, of course, as we all know. But look, they've got surrounded by the Indian and the Atlantic Oceans. You've got some breathtaking scenery and, of course, the game viewing, which is what I guess a lot of people go for, is the game viewing. And you'll be spoiled, you will. And if you go at the right time of the year, which is usually when it is drier, because then they're coming out looking for food. If it's at the end of the wet season, there's abundance.
So you've got to pick your times.
You've got to pick your time. But even saying that, it's still, you know, if you weren't there at that time of the year, you're still going to have a great time. You might not might be a bit harder. You mightn't see all of the Big Five on day one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, your guide will have you out there searching, and they're really good at, you know, knowing where they hang out and their lairs and things are. So, you know, you're probably always going to see it. But if you really want the ultimate experience, probably May to September, and it's easier to spot the wildlife then as well. So just keep that in mind. Also, Botswana, they included in their itinerary as well, and it's a bit further north. But it's a landlocked country in Southern Africa, but it's very diverse there, and it has it's got a great degree of democratic stability there now after achieving democratic rule back in 1966. It's got three of the world's richest diamond-bearing formations, which were discovered within its borders. Famous
that
for that. It does. They're famous for the parks like Chobe National Park, the Moromai National Park and the Okavango Delta, which is just unbelievable. Has a very high concentration of game. There you'd be hard-pushed not to see every animal you'd ever want to see in Botswana. So just keep that in mind as well. And the best time there, again, they always say is the dry season, which is sort of June to October. But like I've said before, I think as long as you stay out of summer,
it gets too hot and all that sort of stuff.
And then at the end, they did an extension to Victoria Falls. And, of course, that's one of the most renowned and, you know, well-known waterfalls in the world. Iguazu, of course, in South America, Niagara in America, Canada border, and, of course, Niagara. I mean, Niagara, I've already said that, Victoria Falls. When you're there, if it's really pumping, and I was lucky to be there when it was just after the rains, man, it's pumping, and you'll get wet just walking around the perimeters. It's just this fine, hazy rain will just be falling all over you, you know. So, again, it'll just depend when you're there. You can't always, of course, these are all a little bit different in their geographical locations. I guess you might see one absolutely perfectly and one not so, because you are going into different seasons. But, look, it's one of those spectacular things to see. I mean, you can even do cruises on the Zambezi, Queen on the Zambezi River, which is just quite spectacular, where you'll just see all the river, the hippos and all the water, you know, life as well. Do even if just a day sunset cruise, but you can do anything up to a few days cruise on the river as well. So there's lots of optional extensions, lots of opportunities to see magnificent wildlife, and you're at one with the outdoors the whole time.
You've kind of come full circle there, Sally, because, again, even if you haven't done a lot of touring, we, like your friends have that have seen all the cities of the world, but we sort of don't have – I mean, while we have a lot of outdoors here, you're not seeing those – those very specific animals that are to that part of the world, and it'd be a great thing to see as opposed to seeing them in like a zoo, like a Western Plains or something.
Well, that's true. Even my husband said yesterday, if you come to Australia again, like you just said, because we're so big, not everyone gets to see all our wildlife. Because they've got to get a long way to get to see it. And so they do go to the wildlife parks and so on to make sure they can see a koala or a kangaroo. I mean, if you're lucky enough, you will, not in the wild. But again, it's harder, whereas in South Africa and even in East, you've got more, definitely more ability to be able to see their wildlife up close and personal.
Now, Sally, you've done sort of that bottom half of Africa.
Yep.
And now you'd like to do a lap of Oz.
Why not? I read in the paper today, have you heard about this guy that's on a push bike trying to break the world record?
Yeah, I know.
You know, one day he got up at 1:30 in the morning and rode 600 and I think it was 19 or 29 kilometres in a day.
You know, even if you were travelling that in a car, right, that's like at least 6 or 7 hours in a car. And that's not, I mean, that can take it out of you. On a bike?
Yeah, so he's trying to break this world record of, I think, 30-something days. Amazing. And then the other guy that's running around the park. What's it? Where is it out? Homebush.
Yeah.
Doing another. That's
just forget lap what, after what, lap, what, yeah.
He's doing. Gosh, I don't know whether I could focus. You'd have to be very, very focused, wouldn't you?
Do you get worn out just thinking about it?
Yeah. Anyway, we're not going to get worn out doing this because this is on a beautiful little vessel called the Coral Adventurer. So they're inviting you to join them on this incredible 60-day voyage in October 2025, where you're just going to see the most amazing parts of Australia. You've only got 25 staterooms on this vessel, so again, we're talking small ship cruising. So 60 magnificent nights. It leaves from Cairns, and from there, just to give you an idea of some of the places you're going to Lizard Island, which is just spectacular. And from there, you go to an island called Stanley Island in the Flinders Island group, where you go to see an isolated Aboriginal rock art that you wouldn't get to see otherwise unless you got there by, you know, a small ship vessel to be able to go ashore. Then you go to another island called Restoration Island, and the locals call it just Resto. And
yeah, that's an Australian thing.
Is it? Is
where,
it?
Where
short and everything.
Where are you going today? Resto.
And if it isn't short, you add on something to make it longer. So I'm Sal, but my husband's Scott, and he's Scotty.
Yep.
So Sally and Scott, Sal and Scotty.
Yeah, that's it. Yep, welcome to Australia, folks.
Yep, that's what we do. So just get used to it. Anyway, Captain Bligh of the infamous Mutiny on the Bounty, he made that his first landfall there on a long ocean crossing from Tonga. So that's quite a historic island as well. You're going to Thursday Island, of course. You're going to the tip of Cape York. It's right at the very northernmost point of Australia. And from there, you go around the top there to the Gove Peninsula and Bremer Island, where you go to Yirrkala Art Centre. Then you go on to Darwin, the Tiwi Islands, then come around the top there, you're coming back down to the King George River and the falls there was just magnificent. You get to see some more rock art there, which I've done when I did a Broome to Darwin cruise, which is wonderful. There's a couple of islands there where you see this Guion rock art, which is just absolutely unbelievable. So different to any of the rock art you'll see in the Northern Territory. Pardon me. Then you go to Prince Hedrick Harbour, the Hunter River, Ashmore Reef, Montgomery Reef, Talbot Bay, the Horizontal Waterfalls, Lacepede Islands, during the turtle season. So how lucky
is that?
The Rowley Shoals, the Dampier Archipelago, Exmouth, Ningaloo Reef, Shark Bay, and all the World Heritage Area there, the Abrolhos Islands, Fremantle, Busselton, Augusta, Albany, Woody Island in the Recherche Archipelago, Cape Legrand National Park, Lucky Bay, which is just so spectacular down that bottom end, near Esperance. Then you get to see the wonderful Bunda Cliffs, which are just stupendous, both east and west. Then you go on to Flinders Island, which is just 35 k's from the Eyre Peninsula coast, onto Coffin Bay, where if you're into oysters like I am, you'll have the best oysters of your life.
I always say, though, Brave was the first ever person who ate an oyster.
Possibly, but I ate one for the first time, and I don't know why, but I loved it. Isn't that funny?
Well, yeah, but you're not the very, very
I'm not the very first,
So let's just crack this thing open, and you know what? I think I'm going to eat a giant snot ball. That's just
I know people call them that. That's an awful term for them. But anyway, then you go on to Penashaw, Kangaroo Island, Adelaide, Port Fairy, Apollo Bay and the 12 Apostles, which there's not 12 of anymore, Phillip Island, Launceston, Tamar River. Then you have a couple of days at sea before you head up to Sydney, Trial Bay, Tangalooma, Kigari, which was the old Fraser Island, now called Kigari. And then you go to an island called Scawful Island. I must admit, I hadn't heard of that. And they can swim and kayak there in the shallow waters of Refuge Bay, which is going north of Kigari. And then you end up at Funnel Bay in the Whitsundays, then Townsville, where you get to do a charter flight out to Longreach and back, which is fantastic. And then eventually you disembark at Cairns again. So what a wonderful itinerary. How much of Australia are you going to see on that?
You'll have to come back from that holiday to have a spell. I mean, the senses have sort of come alive with all of the
keep it all in. And you imagine your photo album, what that's going to look like, eh? And how many photos are you going to take?
You imagine, yeah. It's like the old slide nights, isn't it?
Everyone's doing a photo book these days.
I reckon you would have had a slide night or two, Sally.
Oh, back in way back.
You would, yeah. Would you have put them on? Yeah.
Oh, maybe once or maybe twice. Once. But, you know, it's funny. Even though I've always worked in the travel industry, I'd never come home and rave on about it unless someone asked me, because I thought they might not want to hear, like people who tell you about all their grandchildren, that's all they talk about. And you think, yeah, I'd like to hear how your grandchildren are going, but can you talk about something else as well?
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
You know, so I always felt like, no, if you're interested, you'll ask me and then I'll talk.
Yeah, okay, that's fair
enough.
And
I think about anything, I think that's only fair.
All right, that's a life lesson from Sally Lucas. More of Talking Travel on the way. As always, you like to wrap things up with some of the hot deals.
I do, Mark. And we're talking South Africa today, so I thought I'd better throw in one there to let people know there are some lovely tours out there. So, again, this is a small group tour that only takes 12 people, and it operates even with a minimum of 6. So that's good to know. It's, you know, really fantastic way to travel.
So in theory, if you had enough friends or family, you know, you could
have
actually
your own group.
Just you.
Yeah.
Gee,
how fantastic is that?
Imagine that, though. Like, you get a group of, say, I want to say 8, right? And then some other just couple comes along.
they'd feel out of it, wouldn't they? Maybe you should get the whole 12.
Yeah.
But this is a 19-day, and it's really a great holiday because it includes the airfares. And so many, you've got your land contact, then you've got to buy the airfare. This is good. It's like a one-stop shop. It's your airfares included. 19 days, and you're going to cover all those areas that I've been talking about, like Kruger National Park, another private national park. You're going to go down the bottom to where they call it part of the garden route of South Africa, where you'll take in Stellenbosch, which is the second oldest established township in South Africa.
Wow.
And all around that area, you've got beautiful wineries all around that Cape Town and going along that route. So you'll get to do that. You go to Oudtshoorn, which is famous. It's the biggest ostrich farm in the world. You get to try an ostrich egg omelette or an ostrich, and then you can watch jockeys racing these ostriches. It's so hysterical. It's really
funny. That sounds like a fun day in itself.
Oh, it's so funny. As I said, wine tasting, lots of lovely food. And you've got, of course, you get to get to the Jane Goodall Chimpanzee Centre. You get to visit Nelson Mandela's house in Joburg and all that sort of thing. Departures are from March to October next year. So, yeah, if you like to do Africa, this is a lovely, lovely itinerary that is taking in most of those areas. But it's got the option there for you to add on Vic Falls if you want to as an optional extra.
I would imagine most people that go there would do the falls as well, or...?
Yes, most would love to do that, I think. Yes, it's sort of, I think, on a lot of people's bucket list to see something like that. It is spectacular, as I said, particularly if you've got that water pumping.
Yeah, for sure. Again, time of year thing.
Time of year thing. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Grand Pacific Tours has got some lovely savings of up to $500 per couple on their new Best of New Zealand South Island tour, so keep that in mind. They've got multiple guaranteed departures, which is always good to know a trip's guaranteed to go, from October 25 right through to May 26. And Mark Hurtigruten, I put it in the middle.
As long as they're there, that's all that counts.
Now, it's not just Hurtigruten at the moment, by the way. A lot of the expedition companies, Chimu, Quark, Intrepid, etc., for the Antarctic and the Arctic, they've got offering you some last-minute really great discounts, anything from 15 to 20, even to 30% off if you've still got time to get away. So, you know, just limited dates available between November and February. But look, honestly, keep that in mind. It's a great saving if it's something you've always wanted to do. Still sticking with Hurtigruten, what they're building on as well is making a more inclusive itinerary. So they're unveiling what they call their most premium experience. Yeah, it's called Savour the Northern Lights. Sorry. And it's an exclusive tour that obviously gets you to see the Aurora Borealis, but you're also cruising all the way up the Norwegian coast and all the way down the Finnish coast as well. So you're getting the double whammy and you're finishing in Helsinki and you get to do Husky Ride and you stay in an ice igloo and Like, there's lots of wonderful inclusions as well as good food and good wine. And
a lot of one-off experiences there. I mean, you can't just do that here, stay in an igloo.
No, not at all. And look up at the Northern Lights. You sail on an icebreaker through the icy wonders of Bothnian Bay. And you also stay in luxurious seaside glass villas in Kemi in Finland. It's a 14-day itinerary with departures December 25 to March 26. So that's, I think, good value for money, really good value for money. Ponant Cruises, a French cruising company, and I'm sticking with a lot of cruises today. Their vessel, the Jacques Cartier, on January this year, is doing New Zealand's East Coast with an exclusive and limited premium golf package. So this is for the golf enthusiasts, and there's some beautiful golf links in New Zealand, I can assure you. You're getting a flight credit up to $1,500 per person, a free solo supplement, and then you can add on the golf package as an extra because not everyone may wish to do the golf package. But you're going from Auckland to Waiheke Island, Tauranga, Gisborne, Napier, Wellington, through the Marlborough Sounds to Picton and Akaroa. And you're doing, as I said, some wonderful golf stops along the way at Tauranga, Gisborne, at Cape Kidnappers. I love that name.
Oh, that's
Cape
a name Kidnappers. And a half, isn't it?
I love it. Cape Kidnappers. Fantastic. Travel Marvel has got a brand new state-of-the-art ship called the Estrella, which has just set off in its maiden voyage last month. And it's doing the wonderful Douro River in Portugal. So there's some wonderful new cruises on that with savings up to $3,000 per couple. And they've also got savings on a whole range of their tours through Asia. So there's actually lots of discounts at the moment, Mark. I think it's that coming towards that time of year, end of the year, people have gone to Europe or done this or done that, but then suddenly you get these savings come out because they're just wanting to get rid of their last minute departures or promote their next season's offers. So it's a good time to jump on board and, you know, get yourself a really good saving. Even Princess Cruises have got up to $1,000 off some new fares per stateroom. So just keep that in mind as well. So just about everything there that could cover what you want to do, land, sea, air, whatever.
Whether it's golfing in New Zealand, a cruise, or looking at the Victoria Falls across in Southern Africa. Look, you've got it covered, Sally. As always, a pleasure. You've illuminated us well today. And back for next week for another Talking Travel. Enjoy your long weekend.
You too. And to our listeners too, have a wonderful long weekend. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.